The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. I begin reading at verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes back, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
I see a couple moving. Come on up. Come on up. That's a big seat. Good morning. More coming. Come on up. I know, it's the big scary guy with the beard. I have a question. How many of you guys like to have parties? Like birthday parties? Christmas parties? Yeah, you like parties? What's your favorite thing at a party?
Cake.
What else do you guys like at parties?
Presents.
Is there, like...
I like balloons.
Balloons, okay. Okay, cake, presents, and balloons. We needed the end of the story, but you didn't know there was a story. So here's the story. There was a man. There's not a picture in this room the same way that there was in the other room. There was this man, and he had sheep. Okay, He had 100 sheep, we're going to say. And he had 100 sheep, and one of them was gone. And one of the sheep was gone, and so he left. He left 99 sheep, and he went up over a mountain, and then he went down a mountain, and then he went across a river. So up a mountain, down a mountain, across a river. What else is out there that he could go across in the wilderness? Did he cross, do you think he crossed a desert? A bear cave? Okay, so he went up a mountain, down a mountain, across a river, through the desert, through the bear cave, and then what?
Over the bridge.
And over a bridge. And then do you know what happened? And then he found the one sheep that he was looking for. He left all 99 and he went up the mountain, down the mountain, through the wilderness, across the river, over the bridge, through the desert, in some order, and found the one sheep. And he found his one sheep. And then do you know what he did when he found his sheep? We already know the end of the story, right? Mm-hmm. He had a party, right? With the cake and the presents and the balloons, and he invited all of his friends to the party for the one sheep. So here's the question. Do you know who the sheep is? Good job. We're the sheep. And the man who goes looking for us to find us when we're lost is Jesus. So Jesus is always out there to find you when you get lost. And he'll come looking through anything to get you. Will you guys pray with me? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I just want to be a sheep. I just want to be a sheep. Amen. All right, you guys can head back.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul is known as the greatest missionary, and he probably has a pretty good claim to that title because he did start many congregations across two different continents. He wrote letters back to those congregations, and because of that, that is a big part of our New Testament. Those letters fill the New Testament with what he had to say, his words of wisdom and words of faith that he writes back to those other congregations. And I bet if you could trace the origins of your own faith, you know, maybe to whoever taught you, maybe it was your parents or your grandparents or maybe a pastor, a teacher, or a family friend, or someone who taught you your faith, if you could trace that faith back each generation, it would probably end up somewheres with something that Paul did or Paul said. He is responsible for much of the Christianity throughout Europe and throughout Asia Minor, and many of our ancestors came from there. Paul was the greatest missionary, but Paul had a past that he would not be very proud of, but a past that he does admit to. You see, Paul was a persecutor of the church. Paul would get letters of commission, and he would go out into the different towns and villages, and he would hunt down Christians. And he would bind them up, and he would haul them back to Jerusalem and put them on trial in front of the religious leaders, where those people then would either be imprisoned or they may even be executed. Paul was not proud of that past. As a matter of fact, he admits to being a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, a man of violence, and foremost, a sinner. But Paul realized when Christ came to him the mistakes that he had made. He realized that following the law, Paul thought that he was doing the right thing. He was following the law, or at least he thought he was following the law and persecuting the Christians. He was going to put those upstart Christians down. He was going to wipe them out and hold faithfully to the law. But what Paul realized is that he couldn't save himself by following the law. He couldn't save anybody else by persecuting him. It was only through Jesus Christ that Paul himself was saved. It was only through Jesus Christ that anybody can be saved. And he realized that even though he was the foremost of sinners, Christ still had mercy on him. And it, not only just mercy, but Christ actually had a purpose for him, had a use for him. Paul became the greatest missionary, and he used his past to say, even though I was the foremost of sinners, God is still able to use me to spread his mission. Paul had looked at that law and thought, this is the way we are supposed to do things. It is God's law. Now, God's law is a gift to us. It tells us how we are to be in relationship with God and how we are to be in relationship with each other. But the law itself had become the religion, and that's all they followed. But Paul realized that it is by the grace of God, through the mercy of God, that we are saved. Now, that's something that the scribes and the Pharisees in the gospel lesson for today could not understand. They couldn't grasp that notion. They couldn't make sense out of who Jesus was. Here, Jesus was supposed to be a teacher or a rabbi. He was supposed to be a learned person of God, and people were listening to him and following him. And here these scribes and these Pharisees couldn't make sense out of him. And they were grumbling about him, saying, what's he doing? He's mingling with the sinners. He's eating with tax collectors. People are around him all the time. Doesn't he know that they are unclean? Doesn't he know that they are dirty? Doesn't he know better than to associate with the sinners? Because it'll rub off on him. They could not understand Jesus. They couldn't grasp that notion. So Jesus tells these two parables. And they are outrageous parables. And you can, for instance, look at this parable of the sheep. Shepherd has 100 sheep. He loses one. He leaves 99. And he goes after just one. Now, how many of you would do that? The prudent thing would be is to think, I've got to protect my 99 sheep. 99's still a bunch. I can do okay with 99. That sheep that lost, well, he deserves whatever he gets, whether he is stuck somewhere, whether he broke a leg, whether he fell down a cliff. Maybe maybe somebody stole him. Maybe a varmint got a hold of him. That sheep deserves what he gets. No, this parable is outrageous because that shepherd leaves those 99 sheep and he goes after that one. And like in the children's story, it's over the mountain and through the woods and over the bridge and everywhere else through the bear cave to find that one sheep. And so what's the shepherd do when once he finds that one sheep? He doesn't wrap a rope around its neck and says, come on, let's go back. Instead, he takes the briars out of it. He checks it over, makes sure it's not hurt. And he lays it on his shoulders and he comes back. And when he gets back, he calls all his friends together and has a party. An outrageous parable. The other one is just like it then too. A woman has 10 coins. She loses one. She turns her house upside down looking for that one coin. And when she finds it, she calls all her friends together and she has a party. The thing is the party probably cost her more than that one coin was worth in finding it. An outrageous parable. Think about it. When you lose something, what do? Say, for instance, it's in the morning. You're ready to go to work, or you're ready to go or shopping, or wherever you're ready to go, or you have appointments. And you look, where's my car keys? I don't have my car keys. And you start looking. You start turning papers over. You start looking under things. Finally, you find your car keys. What do? Do you call all your friends and say, hey, let's have a party. I just found my car keys. No. You mutter at yourself at how stupid you could be. Or you think about, I'm late, and you're stressed out for the rest of the day. Or you start to find ways to blame somebody else that your car keys were lost. The stories are outrageous. They're outrageous stories because Jesus wants to bring across the point of how important each and every one of us are. That each and every one of us are so important that Christ is looking to save each and every person. Every person is important to God. And he wants each and every one of us to be within his fold, to be found. He wants all the lost to be found. And when they are found, there's a great party. The line there in the last of that gospel reading, that all of heaven rejoices, God's angels rejoice. Now, for many of us, too, I know that we've done things in our past that we're not proud of. Probably not as outrageous as the Apostle Paul in persecuting Christians or hunting them down. But we've done things in our past that we're not proud of. And things that we think are so terrible that God will never forgive us. But God is willing to forgive all of our sins, each and every one of our sins, and put them to the past. Put them behind us. Christ takes those things and puts them on his shoulders. And he carries us. He carries us in his grace and in his mercy. And so this week, we're called to do something. We have a mission, an assignment this week. And that assignment then is to go and tickle an angel. Okay? You know how to go and tickle an angel? You make them laugh. You make them rejoice. And the way to make them rejoice is to tell that story of Jesus Christ. That story of forgiveness. That story of grace. That story of mercy. That God is willing to forgive all the sins. That God is willing to go out and find that lost person. And when that lost person is found and repents and is brought back into the fold, the angels laugh. They are tickled because someone else has joined the kingdom of God. Go out and tickle an angel. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.